So, as I said, it's lovely to be here. Thank you for inviting us to come and speak with you, and I pray that you'll be blessed this morning. So who's ever been to an escape room? Who's heard of an escape room? Yeah, a few of you. So a few years ago, we went to an escape room for our first visit ever, and we were led into a small room. There wasn't much in there, and we were handcuffed to the wall. Then the lady turned off the lights and left, shut the door and left. And we're just sitting there in the dark thinking, okay, now what? What do we do? And then after what seemed like an age, my son discovered that he could reach the light switch from where he was. So he turned on the light. Once the light was on, we discovered there was a key sitting above Mark's head, which he could then reach, which was then obviously our progression into freedom, which was very nice, because for a while there I was a moment of panic came over me thinking, are we going to be stuck here forever? Do you sometimes feel like life's like that? You're stuck, you're trapped, you're in the dark, you feel helpless. All you need is for the lights to go on and you can find the key. Well, the disciples in our story today needed some lights to go on. So I've titled my message, For the Sake of the Song, which is an odd title, but you'll discover as we go the meaning of it. So turn with me to Mark 6 in your Bibles. It'll also be on the screen if you don't have your Bibles. And we're starting at verse 45. Mark 6, 45 through to 52. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. So there's a couple of very interesting lines in here, which I'll talk about in a moment. But let's back up a bit, first of all, and paint the picture. So Jesus had sent his disciples out two by two into ministry. He told them not to take any food, not to take any bags or money or clothing with them. But basically, he was teaching them to live by faith. They came back on what we would call a successful missions trip with healings, repentance, miracles, and so on. So they came back, told Jesus all about it, and he decided to take them aside to a quiet place for them to have a rest and just debrief. But the crowds followed them. And Jesus had compassion on them and began to teach the people. Once it started getting late, the disciples wanted to send the crowds away because they had nothing to feed them, and Jesus told them they needed to feed them. So despite having just come back from a successful missions trip, they couldn't see how they could possibly feed over 5,000 people with only 5 loaves and 2 fish. Talk about a short memory. The people ate and were satisfied after the miracle. Who's heard of the miracle of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish? Yeah. So the people ate and were satisfied, and then the disciples collected up 12 baskets full afterwards. This is when Jesus then made them go into the boat and go to the other side of the lake while he dismissed the people. And I believe he wanted them to take what they had received, the blessings, the bread, and give it to others, hence the 12 baskets full. Jesus then went up on a mountainside alone to pray. Meanwhile, the disciples found themselves in a fierce windstorm. Has God ever sent you into a storm? I was listening to an interview recently on Bethany Hamilton. Who's heard of her? Bethany Hamilton was attacked by a shark when she was 14 years of age and lost her arm and lost so much blood that she actually almost died. And in this interview that I was listening to, she was saying that 2 weeks before this shark attack, she prayed and said, "Lord, use me. Let me glorify you with my life." Then she was attacked. Wow. She must have thought, that wasn't what I asked for. Or was it? This was actually an answer to prayer, because since the shark attack, she's been interviewed in so many talk shows around the world and able to share about the protection and the love of God that she experienced during her ordeal. And not only that, a movie has been made about her story called Soul Surfer. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's a fantastic movie and I thoroughly recommend you watch it if you haven't. And it was in mainstream theatre, so the whole world has heard her story. God sent her straight into a storm that ultimately brought glory to him. We all go through storms in our lives, financial, health, relationships, an accident, a job loss, car and house issues, that insurance claim. I'm sure you can think of the storm that you're going through right now. None of us are immune. Some of them are self-inflicted, some are just part of life, but some are actually orchestrated by God. Let me say that again. Some are actually orchestrated by God. God leads us into a storm. But just because God calls us to do something doesn't mean it'll necessarily be smooth sailing, excuse the pun. About 15 years ago, my previous husband and I were called to pastor a church in a small country town. When we arrived there, we had the burnt out pastor and his family and two other people in the church. So we were called to rebuild the church from basically nothing. And that was hard work. That was really hard work. And not only that, we were getting opposition from the other churches in the town. And I remember saying many, many times, if I wasn't 100% certain that God had called me, I'd be gone by now. Because sometimes we need to know that it's actually God that sent us into that storm, because that's what gives us that tenacity to keep going. But why would a loving God purposely send us into a difficult situation? Why would he send us into a storm? Max Lucado, a Christian author and pastor, says, he tells a story about two maestros who attended a concert to hear a promising young soprano. One commented on the purity of her voice. The other responded, "Yeah, but she'll sing better once her heart is broken." There are certain passions that are only learned through pain. And there are times when God, knowing that, allows us to endure the pain for the sake of the song, the title of my message today. I endured the pain for the sake of the song in that church. Bethany Hamilton endured the pain for the sake of the song. The song is what we share with others, our faith, our testimony, our blessings, our story. But its authenticity is established by what we go through first. If God sent you into a storm, it's for a purpose. Romans 8:28, I think we probably all know that. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. His purpose being our good and his glory. Generally, God is needing to show us or teach us something that can't be learned any other way. So like the young soprano, you can have all the knowledge and technique in the world, but enduring the pain for the sake of the song brings a whole new dimension that can't otherwise be achieved. When my mum was diagnosed with breast cancer nearly 10 years ago, initially it was just going to be a lumpectomy. Then we discovered it was a mastectomy. Then she went through chemotherapy and radiotherapy. Once we endure something difficult, we have a completely different understanding. I knew the theory of God our healer, Jehovah Rapha our healer. But it takes on a whole new meaning when you go through something difficult. It's no longer just head knowledge. So with the disciples, what should have been a short, easy trip by experienced fishermen has now turned into a nightmare. When you're caught in something completely out of your depth, that's when you know that God has to move and your faith rises up. When I was called to Bible college, I had a really good job, really good paying job. It was a great job. I loved it. But I felt God calling me to do Bible college and to go part-time. And I said, all right, God, if this is of you, then let my boss say, yes, I can go part-time. So I went to him and he was fully supportive. He goes, yep, I'll support you all the way, no problem at all. Partway through that year, we merged with another firm in town. And the new firm didn't like me working part-time. They said, you either come back full-time or not at all. So suddenly I'm faced with a dilemma. God's called me to Bible college and now God's called me into a storm. Because at that time I couldn't get Ausstudy, I couldn't get Centrelink, so I literally could not earn a cent. And I said, God, I'm going to be obedient to you. You've called me to this. I'm going to continue on. And my faith rose. I knew that God had to move. It was his problem to deal with because he'd called me into it, and he did. I learnt so many faith lessons during that year. It was unbelievable, the blessing upon blessing of provision. So now the disciples are in the middle of the lake and the boat is being pounded by the waves because the wind is so strong. Picture this scenario in your mind. So it's night time, so it's dark, it's very windy, the waves are rough, they're pounding against the boat. The disciples have been in this for pretty much all night. They went there just as the sun was setting and it was almost before dawn before Jesus came into the boat. So possibly 9 hours they were out there. They're tired. They're exhausted. Jesus is up on a mountain praying, nowhere in sight. The disciples are in the middle of the lake. And according to John's gospel, they were 3 to 4 miles from shore, which is about 5 to 6 kilometres. Now, I've done my homework. I googled what's around 5 or 6 kilometres away from here. And I discovered that the Tower Hotel, we're going to have a map, the Tower Hotel is just under 5 kilometres as crow flies from here. So you think Jesus is up on a mountain and you're in a boat here and that's how far away he is. But he saw the disciples straining at the oars. He saw them. They might not have been able to see him, but he could see them. Isn't that a comforting thought? That in our darkest moments, when you feel like you're out of your depth, when you're being pounded metaphorically by the waves, when you're struggling and exhausted, and you feel like God's a million miles away, or he's deserted you, God sees. God knows exactly what's going on. So even though Jesus saw the disciples, he didn't immediately come and rescue them. Wow, that's harsh. Or is it? When your child's learning to walk, when they fall over, do you come and rescue them straight away? Or do you stand back and watch them and allow them to learn and discover the ability that they already have? Growing up, I remember Mum and Dad had a yacht and I remember going out there quite regularly on the yacht on the weekends. And one time I lost my balance and fell into the sea and I screamed out for my dad to come and rescue me. And he said, no, just swim. And so I did. He was teaching me to, I was only young by the way, he was teaching me to discover the ability that I already had. Remember, the disciples have just come back from their successful missions trip. So he's needing them to discover the tools that they've already been given, that they've already learned. God knows what you're going through. He sees. And if he's not coming to your rescue, it's because he's wanting you to endure the pain for the sake of the song. There's a bigger purpose. Our best lessons come through endurance. James 1:12 says, my fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy you can. For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up power within you to endure all things. The J.B. Phillips translation says, welcome the difficulties as friends. Do you do that? Do you welcome your difficulties as friends? So finally in verse 48, Jesus comes to them. It says, shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake, and was about to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the lake, he thought he was a ghost. They thought he was a ghost, and they cried out, because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. He was about to pass by them. That's an odd comment, isn't it? Why was he about to pass by them? Have you ever noticed that before? Sometimes we need to dig a little bit deeper to find the meaning behind some of these stories. Do you recall two other times in the Old Testament when God passed by someone, when God revealed himself to someone? Does anyone recall any of those moments?
Moses.
Moses, yep. And there was one other time. Jesus was talking to her. That was in the New Testament, but there was one in the Old Testament where God passed by and revealed his glory. And on both occasions, this person had to cover their face because of the glory of God. No one? None of our Bible scholars here?
Elijah,
well done. Yes, Moses and Elijah. Now, what do Moses and Elijah represent in the Bible? Elijah represents the prophets and Moses represents the law, exactly. And so Jesus said in Matthew 5:17, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I haven't come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. So in this verse and in similar verses, Jesus is referring to the Old Testament writings, which they called the law and the prophets, and declaring that everything written in them was pointing to him. He's come as a perfect, sinless, sacrificial lamb, fulfilling the law and also fulfilling every prophecy that was written about him in the Old Testament. So by intending to pass by the disciples, he's making a very deliberate and pointed statement about who he is. I showed my glory to Moses, I showed my glory to Elijah, and now I'm revealing myself to you. Not only that, when the disciples cried out and he said, take courage, it is I, the actual literal translation of that is, I am. He's saying, I am the one. Jesus has just given a few very major hints about who he is, but they still didn't get it. So then he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down and they were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened or blinded. How often do we miss what God is doing in our lives or saying to us because we're so focused on something else that we're blinded to what he's actually doing? We expect God to do something in a certain way or to answer our prayers the way we've prayed them, and then we miss the answer he gives. Researchers in recent years have discovered there's actually a real psychological phenomenon that we all struggle with, and it's called inattentional blindness. Has anyone heard of that? So inattentional blindness is a failure to notice unexpected objects or events when our attention is focused elsewhere. Who's ever driven down the road and they get to their destination and say, I don't even remember getting here. I don't know how I got here. Because you're so focused on something else. Your mind was elsewhere. Or you're busy talking on the phone, someone's trying to get your attention and you're completely oblivious to it. Or you're doing the dishes and you get a fright to see someone standing there because you didn't hear them walk in. Or you fail to see the motorbike when you're pulling out because you're looking for cars. All of these are examples of inattentional blindness. It's a real thing and it's obviously it can be quite dangerous. That's why they discourage talking on mobile phones while you're driving, because your attention is focused elsewhere. So the disciples had inattentional blindness. But what were they focused on that they missed what Jesus was trying to show them? As with all the disciples, as with all the Israelites, the disciples were expecting Messiah, a king who would deliver them from the oppressive Roman rule. And the people who had just been fed, this 5,000, were wanting to make Jesus king after seeing the miracle of the bread, and that's why he sent the disciples away and sent the people away, because it wasn't his time yet. So the disciples were also thinking that this was their Messiah, a king who would come and deliver them. They had all the evidence in front of their eyes of who Jesus was, but it wasn't what they were expecting. They were expecting a king, a human king, they were expecting God. I'll start again. It was not what they were expecting. God was in human form rather than an earthly king. They were expecting an earthly king, not God in human form. Yeah, got it out. So they missed it. They were still focused on the miracle of the bread. They were focused on the blessing and what they could get out of it, rather than sharing what they'd received and learned. We do it too. What can I get out of this? Make my life comfortable rather than enduring the pain for the sake of the song and making it the best, most beautiful and authentic song that we can deliver. Are you suffering from inattentional blindness today? Are you so focused on expecting God to answer your prayers in a certain way that you miss what he's actually doing? Is your heart blinded by unmet expectations? Maybe you feel like you're handcuffed in an escape room in the dark and you just need someone to turn the light on so you can find the key. Perhaps you feel as though God has sent you into the middle of the lake and you're being buffeted by waves. There's no shore in sight and you are weary. No, you're exhausted. In fact, you've even said, I want out. I can't do this anymore. Perhaps you're angry with God. Where is your focus? Is it on your storm or is it on who Jesus is? Jesus said his purpose is to give us abundant life for our good and his glory. Sometimes we need to endure the pain for the sake of the song. When we focus on who we are becoming or who we're becoming like rather than our circumstances, our faith increases. Ask God to turn the lights on so that you can see that key that will unlock your freedom. When we see that God is doing something good and not to harm us, we learn to rest in him. When the going gets tough, we learn to lean on him all the more. I don't know what storm you're going through right now, but I can guarantee probably most people in this room have something that they're going through, whether it's self-inflicted or something that God sent you to. But God has a purpose in it all. God loves you. He sees what you're going through. He understands. But he wants you to lean on him. In fact, I've got a very strong sense there's someone here who's going through a legal battle at the moment and you actually can't see an end in sight and you don't even know what to do. God knows what you're going through. And he's saying, what I've already shown you, what I've already taught you, use that. Learn to lean on me. I can be trusted. So let's pray. How about we stand? And if God's speaking to you this morning, just open up your heart to receive what he has for you. He loves you. He cares about what you're going through. And he wants to increase your faith. Lord, open our eyes to see you. Help us to see your purpose. And when we can't see you, give us the strength to trust you. Help us to know by faith that you have promised never to leave us or forsake us. Help us to focus on you and not be blinded by our circumstances. We thank you for the pain that you endured for the sake of the song, when you endured the cross. That was in order to perfect us so that we would not grow weary and lose heart. Help us to endure the pain for the sake of the song. Make us better people for your kingdom's sake. And if there's anyone here that doesn't know God, that you've never accepted Jesus to be Lord of your life, please come and speak to Pastor Kerry or myself afterwards. We'd love to pray with you. Don't leave this place without meeting our Saviour, Jesus, who died on the cross for you. Lord, I pray for each person here. May we be changed. May we leave this place changed. In your name, amen.